Go open your Bibles, please, in the book of Isaiah, in the 50th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And reading in the middle of the second verse, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Now the 66th chapter of the same book. Reading from the first verse, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Now shall we go back to the 50th chapter again? Reading from verse 5, the Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Now the book of Hebrews. And reading in the first chapter, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now just a few verses in the second chapter. Verse 5. Unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honour, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For him that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for everything. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Our brother has taken our thoughts back to Genesis, where we get the thought of the man that we know in this world. And we're taken back there to the first one in this world as a man, even Adam. There are millions of people in the world today, all derived from that first man. And beloved brethren, there are millions of Christians in the world today, and they too are all derived from one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. On Friday, Mr. Tyson was speaking to us from Revelation of a time when John wept much because there was no man found with the ability to open the book. And where I commenced reading this afternoon in the book of Isaiah, we find there that God was in a similar position, to use a figure. And we have him speaking through the prophet Isaiah, and he has to say, when I came, was there no man? When I called, there was none to answer. And in this world of God's creation, beloved friends, there wasn't an echo here from out of that first creation that could give delight and pleasure to the heart of a righteous and a holy God. Not one, no man. When I called, none to answer. There'd been no change right from when he came down into the garden in the cool of the day and he called out to Adam. And there was no answer. Adam fled and hid himself because of the sin that had blighted God's creation here upon earth. And though he had taken up a nation and blessed them and given them every advantage, yet we find when we get to the end of this book, Isaiah, that prophetically speaking, there is still no difference. And the prophet can say, speaking for God, when I called, there was none to answer. But he spoke in that last chapter when he asked them the question, where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? You know, they built an house, but the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here, he had to say to them of this temple that they'd built, your house is left unto you desolate. There was nothing in it that could please God or give God any pleasure. And where is the place of my rest? God couldn't find rest amongst this creation, neither amongst the Jew nor the Gentile, because of sin and iniquity. All these things have been, saith the Lord. But he gives us a wonderful clue, doesn't he? He gives us guidance, beloved friends, when he says, to this man will I look. How precious that God himself speaks unto us in the midst of a scene of ruin such as there was, and he points one man out, to this man will I look, to him that is poor. They were seeking someone mighty to guide them, weren't they? To him that is poor. Was there ever anyone fitted that category like the Lord Jesus Christ? That one who could say, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests? No. We can think, can't we, of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who though he was rich, yet for our sakes became poor. Have we ever measured the depths of this man's poverty? To him that is poor and of a contrite spirit. And when he saw the nature of things around him, when he saw his own people, he was filled, beloved friends, with a penitent spirit because of the condition of his people, the condition of those to whom he had been born amongst. to him that is a penitent spirit. Thank God we've all been given a penitent spirit. And that trembleth at my word. These, a man like this wasn't to be found up to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can see him speaking, can't we? And we can hear him saying, he wakeneth mine ear, morning, my morning. And what was the answer from this man that was any different from the others? The answer, beloved friends, was, I was not rebellious. We'd all been rebellious, right from Adam down to every man in the world at this present time, except this man. I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. We'd all turned away, hadn't we? But this man, he was not rebellious, nor turned away back. And you know, he hadn't the pleasant things before him that we have had. He hadn't the easy conditions that we have had. He could say, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheek to them that plucked off the ear. We never trod a pathway like that, beloved friend. But here was this man, the man to whom God was looking, who gave his back to the smiters and his cheek to them that plucked off the hair, who hid not his face from shame and spitting. Even today, in the light and the value of the precious blood of Christ, we are a Christian. We oft times hide our face from things far less than this. Yes, but here was one who hid not his face from shame and spitting. Beloved friends, did you ever know a man such as this? You would sometime, I suppose, be in that position that the woman in the 4th of John was in, that we were hearing of last night, who could say, never man spake like this man. She could say, come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Isn't the thought of a man able to do things like that a comfort to our hearts? I shouldn't like to be here, beloved friends, with the thought that every sin that I had confessed had been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. There'd be so many I couldn't remember. But here was one who could speak and say, come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. There's no sin left out, beloved friends. He's taken them all in. This is the one of whom the man who stood by the cross when they had put him to death could say, surely this was the Son of God. He could see the difference twixt this man and all other men. And so could God. And so we find in the book of Hebrews in which we read that God speaks to us now quite plainly in his word. We've been speaking this morning of the mystery which is Christ and the church, and we have it set forth so plainly here. But all what I want to stress is the fact that he is the first. With great wealth, beloved friends, in our Boaz, for he possesses all things. And he's the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person. We're told, aren't we, that no man has seen God at any time, but the only Son who dwelleth in the bosom of the Father. He hath declared him. He hath made God known unto us, beloved friends. He's the revealer of the Father. And this man, the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, it says of him, when he had made purgation for sins, Oh, how precious to the heart of everyone who have found shelter under that precious blood, when he had made purgation for sins. Oh, what a mighty work this man accomplished, the only one who was ever able to work pleasing unto God, the Lord Jesus Christ. When he had made purgation for sins, he sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. We know a man now, beloved friend, who has trodden this world, whom God has taken from this world, and God has glorified. We know a man who was in this world, and the men of the world nailed him to the cross because they hated him and disliked him. They didn't want him, and they cast him out. But God received him, beloved friend. And now, in the value of this scripture, we are able to say, we see not yet all things put under him. Nor we realize, as we go about day by day, that he's still the man that is rejected and not wanted. We can see that there are thousands of knees that have not bowed to the Lord Jesus Christ. We can see that things here are not ruled by his sway. We can see that this isn't his kingdom, because this isn't a kingdom where righteousness is the scepter. We see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Yes, the downstooping of the Lord Jesus Christ for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. We sing, don't we, with enjoyment, oh, how rightly crowned is Jesus. We accord in our hearts the place that God has given him. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for everything. Everything is going to be reconciled by value of that precious blood which he shed at Calvary's cross. Even the animal kingdom, which groans and travails in pain until this present time, it's going to be relieved. The lion's going to lay down with the lamb, beloved friend. Man in the world couldn't believe such things, could he? They're shut out from his view. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he's tasted death for everything. For it became him, by whom are all things, and for whom are all things, in making the captain of their, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. It wasn't the sufferings that made him perfect. He was perfect before the sufferings. He was perfect through the sufferings. He was perfect after the sufferings. In bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. We've been talking of the mystery, Christ and the church, and I think we can see it set forth so plainly, right from the outset until this present time. And where we finished reading, we read that wonderful word, both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. There's no mystery now concerning it, is there? It's made plain in the Word of God. It's made plain by the Spirit of God, that those that were once were far off are now brought nigh. Those that were cast out and far away in Adam are now brought near in Christ. And how precious to think that this one who sanctified us, and we the sanctified, are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Are we ever ashamed, beloved friends, to call him Saviour? We bow our heads in shame There are many times, perhaps, when there's been an opportunity to speak a word to the Lord Jesus Christ, and was kept silent. But this man wasn't so. He's not ashamed to call us brethren, saying, I will declare thy name amongst my brethren. Speaking to God about us, beloved friends. We who he had redeemed by his precious blood. We who had been brought into such a place of nearness. Not my friends. Not my acquaintances. Not my servants. My brethren. And he could say that he would lead the praises in the midst of the assembly. And how often are the praises rising up from our ransomed hearts as here in this scene of his rejection we gather together to think of him, the captain of our salvation, to think of him, the man of God's pleasure, the man in whom God delighteth, the man of whom God could say to this man, will I look? Well, may God bless his work to each one of us for his name's sake.